Let's pray, okay? Father, they don't need to hear from me, God. We need to hear from you. And Lord, you know how goofy and silly I can get to the point, Lord, where it can actually be a distraction from what you want to say and do in our lives. And Lord, I pray that that would not happen. Thank you, Lord God, that we have the joy of the Lord, God. That Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fun, God. And Lord, we desire your Holy Spirit to live and to reign in everything in our lives, God. So Lord, we're going to give this time especially to you now. Would you speak to us through your word? And Lord, give us strength and life and your energy, Lord, to be what you've called us to be in this city, God. Amen. Hallelujah. The most dangerous of these. So I went looking for a slide that kind of looked like danger. A lot of gross stuff on the internet, you know, like, oh, you know, sometimes stuff you can't unsee, you know. Ashley knows exactly what I mean because she's going like this now, you know. Yeah, it's bad, you know. So I figured a lady standing on the edge of a volcano. The most dangerous of these. Where am I coming from? Well, it's kind of like a mirror of a verse that you guys know. But the greatest of these is love, right? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says that there remains faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Okay? Love. That's the greatest. Love conquers all. You can't, and we talk about, I mean, the Bible says that God is love. Okay? Talks about love, and it goes into detail. Not just, you know, shallow. I mean, you listen to some of the corny, stupid music that's on, and you know, there's concept of love, and oh my goodness, like you girls and your girly flicks. I sorry, you know, I respect you and I love you, but I just, you know, anyway, the love that God talks about is so much deeper, so much more powerful. You can't overestimate it, okay? And it is probably the Bible gives the most skillful and intelligent depiction of what real love is than any other force, any other source in the world. Now, because you can't overestimate love, and because we're called as the body of Christ to traffic in it, to be good at it, to be gifted, to be experts, okay? I mean, we can be lousy at a lot of things. But if we're really good in love, we're going to be okay. We're going to do well. We're going to do really well. Okay? If there's real love happening, it's going to be wonderful. Okay? So, because that is so important to talk about, I want to talk about the opposite of love. The opposite of love, and some of you have heard me yak about this a little bit in the past. Okay? The opposite of love is not hate. Never has been. Okay? If you got... Now, like, I won't say, you know, people come to me for what they think is counseling. Pastoral counseling is not the same as, like, psychologists or stuff like that, like certified counselors. I don't pretend to be a certified counselor. I know what pastoral counseling is. That's different. And the good thing is, and this is opinion, I reserve the right to be wrong, and I would certainly respect your opinion on this, okay? Often people don't need counseling. They just need somebody to listen. And pastoral counseling is we give the biblical and the God perspective. And if we believe in a miracle working God, and if he's an expert at relationships, often that's all that's needed. Okay? So when I say I do marriage counseling, it's not classic marriage counseling, but I do, actually my pre-marriage counseling is really good. Okay? For those of you, I've actually prevented at least 2 marriages with my pre-marriage counseling. Okay? And that's a good thing because boy, if I can stop a couple from getting married because things aren't right, I'm saving them a ton of grief. Okay? If you're gonna break things up, do it before you make that commitment. Okay? That's not a sin, you know? And I get them talking about things they would never talk about, and they get talking about stuff that they didn't know he thought that, and she, and then before you know it, well, I gotta rethink this. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for everyone I prevent, oh yeah, I've done dozens and dozens and dozens, okay? So, let me give you a little bit of an observation of marriage counseling. When I got, and then after they get married, you know, they're part of your church, or they, you talk to him, he's pretty good, you know. So I get talking to couples. If I get a couple coming in, and they're ready to kill each other, okay? Like, they're just, I mean, everything, they're just arguing, meh, 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 you know? There is hope for that couple. Why? If they hate each other, that means they're emotionally connected. That means what he is saying affects her, and what she is doing affects him. They are connected. That's a strong connection. And the reason they're ticked off at each other is they're connected. When you got a couple that hates, they want to, there is hope for, you can, I'm telling you, God and even the couple, they can turn that around because they're upset because they care. He cares. He cares very much what she says. She cares very much what he says. Okay? They're connected. They want to kill each other, but it's because there's a deep connection there. So hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love, you probably know, is apathy. Apathy won't even show up. And you know the old line, 80% of success is just showing up, especially when it comes to like counseling. If I get them in my office, we're 80% there. Okay? Apathy won't even show up. So you got to take a look. What's the opposite of love? It's apathy. Here's a good, this one you might remember. You might forget the whole message, but you might remember this, okay? It's dark. When you're talking apathy and laziness, that's the dark side. That's where bad stuff happens. That's where evil takes over, okay? Evil like you can't imagine, okay? Well, I thought evil does really horrible things. Yeah, but it starts with this. It starts, the seed of it, it germinates with, I don't really care, okay? There are, in the last, I'll say 25 years, in the last 25 years, there have been thousands, not hundreds, there have been thousands of churches that have closed in Canada. Hardly any of them closed because of hate. And I don't have stats, but I've seen enough surveys, and you know what happens in dead churches. I'd say probably 95, it'd probably be safe to say 95 to 98% of them closed because of apathy. Nobody cared anymore. You know? Well, just, yeah, whatever, you know? Matthew 24, 11, 13. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Jesus is talking about the last days here. Are we living in the last days? In my opinion, probably. Okay? I can't get dogmatic about it because I don't know when he comes back, when he's coming back. And he told me in Acts 1, 7, you know, it's not for me to know. Okay? I'm supposed to just get on with the business of loving God and loving people and doing the work of the kingdom. Okay? I leave that up to him. But he said, many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Oh, we got deception like crazy nowadays. I've never seen people so deceived, believing garbage, believing absolute foolish nonsense, and staking their life on it. So we're there right now, okay? Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Okay? You guys know what that's like. We all know what that's like. If you spend any time watching the news, or you hear any, like, more garbage and perversion. I mean, coming to church on Sunday morning almost is like coming and taking a shower or running through a car wash. Because we accumulate this garbage through the week and nobody's going after it. Nobody's seeking it out. You just encounter it. I mean, I like to say, it's not very true, but I don't watch TV, I watch sports. I got a couple shows I like watching on Netflix with my wife and my daughter, okay? But I watch sports. You know what I hate about sports? The commercials! The commercials! They promote these filthy, perverted, you know, it's even cropping up the way they're selling products. I want to puke. The only way I can watch sports is I gotta have my game on, and then I gotta have the clicker with another game, so when a commercial comes on, I click it. You know it's terrible when you click it and there's another commercial on the other commercial on two channels! It's sick! Now I've had people say, why don't you PVR? You know, and then you can blight through the commercials. I don't got the patience for that, okay? So like, you accumulate that stuff, and it can make your love grow cold. But look at this, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Okay? Now, increase of wickedness, it says there. Because of the increase of wickedness, you can actually get dragged down by wickedness. It can discourage you. How do you cope with that? Well, you're here this morning. That's a solution. I can't overemphasize Christian fellowship. Now, I hesitate to use Christian fellowship because some of you are thinking, well, yeah, stuff that we do as a church. No, no, you need to be visiting with each other during the week. You need to be going over to each other's house, okay? Your house is not a museum for your stuff, okay? It's a place that God has given you so you can bless others. And the word says in the book of Acts that we're to practice hospitality. That doesn't mean getting good at entertaining. It means having your life open so people can come to you, okay? And when you sense that somebody's dark or somebody's suffering, you need to go after them. Don't track them down with a gun, you know what I mean? Like, spiritually speaking, but like, you track them down, you encourage. Because I don't know how many times I've had somebody come to me and say, man, I felt like garbage, and so-and-so came to me. They were just the right person at the right time. I remember a suicide, and I've told the story. I won't tell it this morning. But there was a guy that came to a church in Bethel, and this guy was going to kill himself. He was going to kill himself. And extreme circumstances, and somebody got to him. Somebody got to him and spent 45 minutes with him. That guy's still alive today, okay? The devil knows how powerful your kindness, your phone calls, your time, when you spend time with somebody, he knows how powerful that is. So he gets you busy doing all kinds of other things, okay? Please, you guys need each other. We need each other. So that's a good coping with the wickedness, okay? But a lot of people won't go down that road because they're afraid. Well, maybe my motives will be misunderstood. Maybe I'll say the wrong thing. Or maybe I'll, you know, look at, I want to put this up here. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. When you know you really love somebody, even if you screw up, you know how much you love them. Okay? There's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Notice it says hates a brother. It doesn't say hate his brother or her brother. No, no, no. This family of God here, okay? For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Love. Let's put love up there. Okay, you can't see it because it's kind of faded. The next projector we get, I was told that they got video projectors about as strong as this, just a tad weaker. You probably even wouldn't even notice. $90 a Canadian Tire this week. Can you believe that? The replacement bulb that we bought for this when we first started and we haven't had to use it yet, that crazy thing was $550. Okay, crazy. Okay, but when we get a new projector, we want to get it brighter. You can't see that love thing as well there. And I'm digressing, which I do a lot. Please forgive me. Okay, love. I got your attention. Love. Now. We speak English and French. I don't know how many French words there are for love. But in English, there's not enough. Because there's a lot of different types of love. In the Greek that the New Testament was written in, they have about 6 or 7. The 3 most popular ones, the ones that are most found in Scripture, is first phileo. Phileo is where we get the word Philadelphia. Philadelphia is known as the city of what? You were supposed to say the Flyers or the Eagles. No, you got it right. The city of brotherly love, okay? Phileo is like relationship, brother, love, yay, team, we're together, yeah, you know. And we kind of hang together, and that's our peer group, our crew, and we're committed. That's phileo love, brotherly love. Very popular, used in a lot of scriptures. The next one is the one that makes us blush and that makes, oh, I hope he doesn't go down there because I could get embarrassed. This could get really awkward. And that's eros love. That is kind of attraction and the sex thing and, you know, and the desire for intimacy. And it is even a form of love. There's a connection there. Now, it can get really, really selfish, okay, and self-centered. And usually it is because we love somebody or we are attracted because of what they can give us, okay, that kind of thing. It's kind of a selfish love based on physical attraction. That's eros. It's in the Word of God. But the one that you guys know and the one that Jesus says when God is love, it's this one that most of us are familiar with. That's agape. And agape love, there's a lot of good definitions. I'll give you a couple of them. Love that stoops. Okay? Love that reaches down. Love that costs you. It is going to cost you. You will have to sacrifice for this type of love. It will put you out. It is unconditional. It does not depend on how the person responds. It has nothing to do with what they can do for you. It is just, it is a decision. It is a commitment of love. That's the love that Jesus calls us to traffic in. And the enemy of that love, not eros and phileo, okay? The enemy of agape love is not hate. It is apathy. Apathy. Jesus is talking about it here in Matthew 5. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? You know? I hear this at funerals, you know? You go, well, he loved his kids, he loved his wife, and he's committed to the neighborhood. And I don't mean to be cynical, but so what? Gangsters love their wives and their kids, you know? Like, and Jesus talks about this. Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And you gotta get the cultural significance there. That's like him saying, aren't even the gangsters and the, you know, the mafia doing that? Cause that's what the tax collectors were back then, okay? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Okay? He's not talking about the love that, oh, he was a real, you know, look at, that's our default. Everybody does that. This agape stuff. In fact, Jesus said in other places, be willing to associate with the lowly. Okay? In fact, he suggested that the people that are naked, in prison, hungry, and strangers, that's where I am. Do you want to be with me? You go be with them. And not just, he wants us to be in relationship with them. They're not just, oh man, I'm not going to give away the church, but I overheard a conversation this week, okay? And somebody was asking the other person, do you guys like do any outreach or help the poor? Well, we hosted a blood donor clinic. It's really nice, you know? You know, I don't see any and how many relationships were built through that. I don't mean to judge, but come on. We're called to be in relationship with people that we're not connected with. The most important people in the kingdom of God are people that are not part of the kingdom. And if you want to reach the lost, the harvest is ripe amongst people that are needy. Nobody else is paying attention to them, okay? Because they're not going to give nothing in return. And yet, they're just as important to Jesus as anybody. In fact, I would say they're more important because he says he identifies with that crew, not with the bunch that has it together. And boy, they'd look fine in our church. Yeah, they might look fine in your church, but I don't know if they'll look fine in his church. And this is his church. This is his church, okay? But apathy stops that from happening. I'm pretty sure, I've got myself pretty convinced, the next wave of t-shirts that we get, okay, and Christine's going to go with me so we don't have these industrial strength things that are non-fashionable and all the women have been complaining about. We're going to get nice shirts. In fact, I think we're going to have female shirts and male shirts. Oh, okay. And I think on the back, the next wave of shirts is going to say, people don't care what you know. They want to know you care. Not bad, eh? I like that as good as the church has left the building. We kind of sent the message that, you know, we're not really tied to a building. But people don't care what you know. Did you hear that line? They don't care. That's the culture. The culture doesn't care. Okay? I don't care. That's the way they are. Everybody knows stuff. I don't care. But if they know you care... You see, the reason why that is so attractive is because apathy is the default. That's the norm. It is prevalent. It's commonplace. And when somebody comes along that cares and does it with passion and doesn't give up and is consistent, that's not normal. You don't see that. You'll see that amongst people that, you know, are trying to sell you something. Isn't it unbelievable when you walk into a car dealership? They're all your friends. Hi, you know? I think God's given me discernment because I see in the supernatural realm. When I walk into a car dealership, I don't see, hi. I see these like alien beings that look like they've got the being from the alien and they're trying to just sap me of all the life that's in me. You know? I'd like a car for free. Can we have this guy taken out? Yeah, forget that. Not going to happen. Okay? When you care, when you display the opposite of apathy, which is commitment, passionate love, for people that are not going to be able to pay you back. Man, that is the real deal. That, okay, let's get to scripture, okay? Look what it says in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. So it's the first fruit of this fruit of the Spirit. Then it gets a little bit more specific. Peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Nothing can stand against it. Nothing can stand against it. Okay? The hardest nuts to crack. Okay? The foul, death and profanity spewing atheist. When you are committed to love to a guy like that or a girl like that, they can't resist that. You'll be tested. You'll be embarrassed. It will cost you. But if you are fueled by the Holy Spirit and directing in that direction, okay, it can't stand. It can't stand. I need a drink of water. Best way to get rid of your enemies. Turn them into your friends. Really? How do you do that? I don't know. But there's always a way. And Jesus told us to do it. So if it's his will and he wants us to do it, I would suggest that he probably knows how to do that. And I would suggest that if you've got enemies that you need to turn into your friends, you start praying. You start praying, how do I do this, God? He will answer those prayers. Okay, he will answer those prayers. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to like the answer. Look it, he wants that to happen in your life even more than you do. So I'm telling you, he will give you the steps. It won't be as hard a road to go down as you think it is, because his will is in that. That's where Jesus is. And when you start walking in obedience to that kind of stuff, oh, he answers those prayers. You know, the one you prayed Friday afternoon, God, let my numbers come up, please. I don't know about those ones, you know. These ones get his attention, okay? Romans 12, 17 to 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Okay, when it says everyone, he's talking about the body of Christ here, okay? If you do what's right in the eyes of everyone and you belong to, the Hell's Angels, that's not what it's talking about there, okay? Okay? If it is possible, that's a key line there. Four little words, powerful. And they're not cop-out words, but, you know, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Isn't God kind and he realizes there are just some people that you're going to go the tenth mile? And, you know, and Jesus even talks about not casting your pearls before swine. That doesn't mean people reject you or pigs, okay? But there will come a time when you'll get a feeling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, you know what? If you're at a place where you think you've reached that place, you should probably talk to a brother or sister first. Because we need to be really, really, really slow up. And when we give up on somebody, it's only for a time. Let it rest for 3 months. Let it rest for 2 weeks. Let it rest for a year, okay? Christmas is coming, and you know I'm in your kitchen right now. I'm talking about people that you're thinking about right now that you're going to see in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, okay? This is right where we live. And it says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Then the generality. So it gives that qualification, but then you can't ignore the rest of it. It's the word of God. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. I don't want to get personal, okay? But this is something I've witnessed in my life, and this is opinion now. This is not me preaching, and boy, that's God. I'm giving you an opinion. I reserve the right to be wrong. In my experience, when God pours his wrath out on somebody that you've backed off and you've just left them with God, I find God to be, when he pronounces judgment, it's scary. Oh my goodness. In fact, I've kind of reacted with God. You don't have to be that cruel. You don't have to be that severe. I've seen God do things that, whoa, man, I guess that was a lot worse than I thought it was. You don't mess with God, okay? And I said this a lot in the last church, and I didn't realize why until, like months after. And I felt really led of the Holy Spirit, particularly in the last year. You heard me say a lot of times, you don't mess with a guy's bride. And the church is the Lord's bride. You don't mess with somebody's bride. And the church and how we get along with each other, you remember that. Before you let somebody drive you to the edge in the church, remember that person is the Lord's bride, Okay? And we are called to minister to the Lord's bride. If I'm working for somebody that's my boss, and, you know, I'm going to be very, very kind to his wife. Even if, you know, his wife is a little bit entitled and everything, you just don't mess with the guy's bride. Okay? It is mine to avenge. I will repay the Lord. Leave that. If you think you've been wronged, listen, nothing gets by Jesus. Nothing. He keeps the best records for your blessing and good. In other words, he knows what you're putting up with. He knows the heart you're putting into. He knows the sacrifice you put in the servant. He knows that, okay? And he honors it. And people that mess with him and think they can get away with things, forget it. Doesn't happen. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? If your baptism, 2 weeks ago we dunked people, okay? And we baptized. We're going to do it again, okay? When it's a little warmer, okay? If your baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's, you know, speaking in tongues and empowered with by God, okay? If your baptism in the Holy Spirit produces this kind of love here, and gladly I've been able to talk to a lot of people, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they say this is the number one thing that happens right away. It's almost like they have a capacity to love like they never had before, okay? If your baptism in the Holy Spirit, if it produces this kind of love, I guarantee you got the real deal. You got the real baptism. That's the real thing right there, okay? But I'm not that type of person. People always say, oh, John, you know, you yak and you're always smiling. Talk to Christy and my wife. Yeah, they'll set you straight. Yeah. I'm not that type of person. Now think about this. Some of you are already thinking, well, I'm just not that type of person. Jesus is that type of person. Okay? And we are to follow him. We are to follow. You're not supposed to be like John Counts. Oh, thank God. Yeah, okay. Because, you know, my wife doesn't need the competition. She, you know, I don't need more John Counts. Okay? But Jesus is that type of person. Jesus is full of joy, full of wisdom, full of patience, full of the Romans 12 love that we're talking about. Anybody who knows me, you know I try. Know I'm serious about following Christ. And we all fall, don't we? But that's why I've got people, you know, to sometimes I need picking up and encouraging. Sometimes I need my butt kicked, you know. Hopefully it's people that are very, very close and loving, okay? What's our purpose? Our ultimate purpose for now. Our ultimate purpose is going to live and reign for Christ for forever. But while we're on this planet, Romans 8 and 29 says that my purpose right now is Christ-likeness, okay? And until he gives you the specifics of that purpose. It's great when somebody gets in a vocation and they know they're called of God and they know they're right in the middle of the will of God and they're being productive and they're getting their prayers answered. That's fantastic, okay? And God will lead you to that, but boy, it can take a long time, okay? So what do you do in the meantime? You can't lose by being Christ-like in the everyday acts of life. On the phone, in your conversations, in the opportunities that come your way, in the people that you touch, in the opportunities you have to carry a grudge, but you don't, in the opportunities you have to pay back evil for evil, but you don't, okay? There are loads and loads and loads. Between now and when we meet back here next week, you will have dozens, maybe hundreds of opportunities to be Christ-like. Your ultimate purpose, if it's not reached yet, the best way to wait on the Lord, remember we did a whole series on that, is to be Christ-like in the meantime. Because the ultimate purpose of Christ's life is going to come, of your life that Christ has for you, is going to come much quicker if you're practicing Christ-likeness. Notice I said practicing. Because we don't get it right, do we, okay? And we, oh, I can't believe I said that. You know, like, you know, we practice and we stay at it and we get other people to check up on us and help us. And like, you know, like if you ever hear, I got two friends, Bill and Rudy. Bill and Rudy got married, oh, probably 50 years ago now, okay? And Bill and Rudy got married within about a year of each other, and they made a pact with each other. I think they stood up for each other at their weddings, okay? And each one of them had a deal. You mess around on your wife, I get to punch you as hard as I can right in the mouth, okay? They made a deal with each other. They both had great marriages. Bill and Marg are still married today. Rudy lost his wife, you know, and he's married again. But that's not a bad thing to have that commitment with each other. If you see me going off the rails, if you see me getting selfish, if you get me, okay? That's not a bad thing, okay? If I can get somebody to ask me, you know, I mean, you can be naggy about it too. I mean, you don't want to do that. I mean, like the love aspect's got to be more important than the, you know, smarten up aspect. Hopefully God will give you an anointing and wisdom to accomplish that. Remember, trying to be Christ-like for somebody is producing Christ-likeness in them, not, you know, like making it hard. Because you can be so, you can take the accountability thing to an extreme where people get discouraged. They're not like measuring up, and they feel like packing it in. So there's a good opportunity to be seeking the Lord and ask Him to help you. He will help you do this. Oh my goodness! You ask Him to make you help you be Christ-likeness. He will help you. And if you ask Him, this is even further. This is for the mature ones. If you're asking God, how can I help somebody else be Christ-like? Show me how. He will answer that prayer. Usually, it's just through love and friendship and encouragement. Okay. Sometimes it's going to be, yeah, John, we got to talk, you know. You can't be Christ-like, but here's the punchline, here's the end of it, okay? And here's that line. Sometimes I end with a line that if you forget everything else, remember this one. You can't be Christ-like and apathetic at the same time. Have you got that? Oh, I got a couple mms. To me, that's as good as an amen. Wow, that's really good. I guess that's what Baptists say instead of amen, anyway, I'm picking on Baptists, okay, I'm going to pay for that, somebody's going to beat me up on that one, anyway, I'm going to say it again, you can't be Christ-like and apathetic at the same time, okay, please, close your eyes, okay, Father, God, this is the most unapathetic congregation I have ever served. I have never had a congregation that's less apathetic than this one. I have never seen a congregation that loves and puts out for each other and puts out for the lost like this one does. So why would I be preaching like this morning? Because God, even the best congregations, Lord God, can fall. And your word says, Lord God, to keep our flame hot, lest we fall from our secure position in you. Lord, I believe, God, that this group, Lord, this church, God, I believe you are going to have your will with it. And I believe, Lord God, that there are thousands that are going to be in the kingdom of God because of the people that are in this room right now. And Lord, if it's going to be derailed, if it's going to be sidetracked, it's going to be through apathy first, God. God, I pray, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit right now, there would be red flags in all of our lives so that we would realize what the enemy's trying to do to kill us, God. And thank you, Lord. I haven't seen any sign of it yet in this congregation, and it's wonderful. And Lord, I'm asking you, and I've got the agreement of my brothers and sisters, keep it that way, God. And I pray that you would dispense your giftings, those wonderful, beautiful giftings of love and encouragement, Lord God, scattered throughout this body, so that whenever that thing rears its ugly, demonic, serpent-like head, we're there to whack it real good, God, real good, so it doesn't come up again for a long time. Would you equip us with that in the name of Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nobody looking around, okay? I've stopped praying, but I don't want you looking around. Most Sunday mornings, okay, I want to know whether there's people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I make sure that I give an opportunity. If anybody wants to make that right with Him, I ask them to raise their hands. And, you know, I get to them before they leave the room, and we make sure we make that right. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your opportunity to do that right now. Put your hand up real quick, put it down, and I'll track you down before you leave the room. Even while I'm talking here, you can do that, okay? And I'm looking around, and I think everybody feels secure in their relationship with the Lord. That's great. That means we can take His word out, and we can do the job He's called us to do in this room before we leave, and then throughout the week as well, okay? Father, thank you again. God, thank you for your equipping. Thank you that there's nothing that we can't do without your strength. God, cause us to doubt our doubts and to believe what your word says, because it's far more authoritative, Lord, than our feelings or our perspective or anything, God. We want to make your heart glad this week. So go take your spirit with us and watch it happen, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.